A Mucky Business with Tim Farron.
Hello, I'm Tim Farron, and this is A Mucky Business. It's the show that delves into the mucky business of politics through the eyes of Christians. Now, maybe you are a Christian who thinks politics is just such an appalling, mucky business. It needs to be kept right at arm's length because it is so bogged down in compromise and sin. Or maybe you're somebody who thinks these weird and wacky Christians should keep their peculiar worldview out of the world of politics altogether. Maybe you're somebody else completely different. Whatever you are, whoever you are, wherever you're coming from, we hope this is the show for you. Well, this week has kicked off with some very significant political developments. Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer has announced a sweeping strategic defence review outlining his vision for the future of the UK's armed forces. On the international stage, Ukraine and Russia are meeting in Turkey for potential peace talks, while the conflict between Israel and Hamas continues to draw global attention. Calls for a ceasefire are growing louder, especially in light of dire warnings about a looming famine in the region. It's been a politically charged last few days, and today we're bringing you even closer to the heart of what happens in Parliament from a Christian point of view. We're going to be joined by two special guests, Mark Harris and Claire Newman from Christians in Parliament, which is an all-party parliamentary group that exists to support members of Parliament and Lords and their staff in their work within Westminster. They'll be sharing more about themselves, the group's mission, and the events and initiatives that they are involved in. But first, this week, Keir Starmer launched the government's defence spending review, as we just said. The UK will now move to what the Prime Minister declares to be war fighting readiness, to contribute more to NATO and accelerate innovation to meet wartime threats. Practical commitments include building new munitions factories, strengthening the Royal Navy's traditional capabilities with the expansion of drone capacity, and investing in attack submarines and nuclear weapons. Defence spending will ultimately increase to 3% of GDP. We are left in no doubt that this is a new era of international threat and an intensified risk of war. Like me, you may have felt a chill down your spine at the starkness of the words, war fighting readiness. We have not experienced the imminent threat of war on UK soil for many decades. Those under 40 won't remember the worries and uncertainties of the Cold War. The war on terror following 9/11 certainly brought events closer to home with terror attacks in UK cities from the 2005 bus and tube bombings onwards. But we've experienced nothing like the sustained shelling and bombing of our cities by an aggressive military power. Our response to distant wars in recent years has often been limited to how we deal with the fallout of refugees arriving on our shores. We have become insular and complacent, and defence spending has fallen along with armed forces numbers. With Putin's invasion of Ukraine in 2022, war arrived in Europe. But here in the UK, I wonder if really we comprehend the reality of the bombs and bullets, the terrible injuries and relentless loss of lives which the Ukrainians have been enduring for the last 3 years. In our corner of the world, we cannot comprehend the all-consuming reality of all-out war, nor the suffering that whole nations will experience from it for generations to come. Instead, we see these things on our screens, and even now, with the terrible intimacy of footage from drones or helmet GoPros, they can still feel very remote. Defence is one of many issues where Christians can legitimately take very different positions. The two main stances are pacifism and just war, with some grey area in the middle. The pacifists believe that taking up arms is wrong in all circumstances. They emphasise Jesus' command to love our enemies and his yielding to the authorities when he could have called down angels to rescue him. Proponents of just war theory believe that war is acceptable if the cause is righteous and the response is proportionate and discriminate, with the prospect of a successful outcome. This view holds that it is legitimate for Christians to join the armed forces as servants of the authorities instituted by God to keep order, as set out in Romans 13. Both these views share the belief that vengeance is the Lord's and that we should never act from motives of rage or revenge. God requires justice but tempers retribution with mercy. They also both recognise that war is abhorrent and to be avoided until all avenues for a just peace are exhausted. When considering a Christian response to the Defence Review, I am reluctantly certain that we need to put our money where our mouth is. Putin and other aggressors are not going to be deterred by massaged departmental spending figures, but only by clear signs that our physical defences are stronger and that we are too lethal to mess with. Press releases and clever spin deter no one. At the weekend, I saw a sticker on a car that said, "Fund the NHS, not Trident." Now, my two thoughts in response to that are, first, that the sticker is right. There is only so much money to go around and we will have to make tough sacrifices and choices. But then again, I also thought that if we value our NHS and the other things that are key to our life in Britain, then we need to be able to defend ourselves from those who would seek to undermine and destroy that way of life. I hope this does not sound overdramatic. It is tempting to stop paying attention to the news to protect ourselves from anxiety and hope it will all go away. But we are called by God to pray for the peace of our world, not turn away or to despair. So let's take comfort in Jesus' words in Matthew 24, verse 6. "You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed." The world is at a critical juncture, but we believe in a story of ultimate hope. That we need defence is a reminder of how broken our world is. Aggression, evil, death and destruction lurk around every corner of this planet. It is also a reminder of how amazing it is that our God sent his Son into that very same world. There he fought and defeated that same evil and secured a future where there will be no more war or death. So let's be encouraged by the hope that we have and pray for the coming of the promise made in Isaiah 2, verses 3 to 4, when God will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore.
A Mucky Business with Tim Farron.
So to our guests this week, yes, plural guests, we have Claire Newman and Mark Harris, who collectively run the Christians in Parliament All-Party Group, and they join me from their office a couple of floors above me now. Welcome, Mark and Claire.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Well, thanks for giving us your time, and it's wonderful to see you and to have you as guests on the programme. Many of the people we've had as guests over the years are people, including me, or who, like me, owe you guys a lot, because you run Christians in Parliament. Tell us what Christians in Parliament is. Claire, I'll let you start.
Yes, and Christians in Parliament is a ministry based in the House of Parliament, which supports all members, such as MPs, peers and staff in their work in Parliament. So we're really here to support you guys.
And you do. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. We'll start again with you, Claire. How long have you been doing this and what exactly is it that you do?
Yeah, thanks, Tim. So I've been in Parliament for just over 8 years now. And I suppose it's a mixed role. So some of it is a sort of teaching ministry. So we run Bible study groups each week, and it's preparing to teach those groups. And we have a chapel service, and me and my colleague Mark will be teaching and leading those services. And then we run events commending the goodness of the Christian faith. And it's thinking through, you know, who do we want to come and speak at those events, organising and planning those events, and then really hosting them and putting them on in Parliament.
And before I move on to bring in Mark, tell me, Claire, how did you end up doing this? What brought you here?
Very good question. Prior to this, I was working in the NGO sector, most recently actually for Save the Children. And then I also was very heavily involved in serving at my church, and I went and did some theological training for a couple of years, and when that finished I was thinking about what next, and found out about this really interesting opportunity in Parliament, and came in and met with Sir Gary Streeter, who was the chair of Christians in Parliament at the time, and Mark Harris, who was already here. And I suppose the rest is history.
The rest is history. another podcast not quite as well listened to as ours, apparently. You speak of him and he's next to you. Mark, tell me a little bit about how you ended up being in the role that you have now, and tell me what it is.
Well, I worked after university. I worked in the city for about 15 years, but towards the end of that time, I was kind of getting the itch to serve in sort of full-time Christian sort of teaching, sort of pastoring, sort of preaching ministry. But I was also very interested in Christianity in the public square and what was the relevance of Christianity to our public life as well. So I was sort of pondering ordination, but looking at other things. And then someone suddenly appointed me to this job being advertised to work for Christians in Parliament. Now, I had no idea that there was a Christian ministry going on in Parliament at all at that stage. But, I was so amazed that it existed and thought that I could have a stab at it. So in 2012, I came and started working here in Gary Streeter's office and employed by Bible Society. And I sort of put the ordination thing on hold for a few years and then started doing ordination training sort of part-time on the job over the last few years. So I'm now ordained in the Church of England, but I work full-time for the Christians in Parliament All Party group in a non-denominational role.
And so, looking at the work of Christians in Parliament, I think it'd be fair to conclude from what you've said, and I can certainly confirm it from my own involvement with the group, is that it's not a campaign organisation, it's not a lobbying organisation. It is a it kind of it's there to provide pastoral support, and indeed to give opportunities for Christians in Parliament to grow as Christians, to share the word with others, and to be supported in their life here in Parliament. Somebody who I think we all know and is a friend of the show, formerly a guest on the show, Michael Weir, who I always sort of say he's one of those rare characters. He's a white evangelical Democrat and used to work in the Obama administration. I remember him and I talking a while ago, and he, with some envy, if that's not unfair to say, at the very cross-party nature of fellowship within Parliament, giving nothing away at all, but the Bible study group that I belong to, and which Mark and Claire, you helped to lead, is very much all party, very much cross-party. Do you get a sense of there ever being tension, or is it something that you find remarkable that people of different political colours can pray and read the word together?
Well, a bit of both. It was something we've worked hard on over the years to curate weekly Bible study fellowship groups, almost like a kind of home group in a church situation. And it is like a home group for lots of people who are not able to be involved in their own church midweek because they're away from the constituency. We have sought to make these groups cross-party groups to reflect the kingdom of God, that we are all stripes, nations, genders, all different political parties within the kingdom of God, and that we're united together in Christ at the deepest level. And that's what defines us in terms of our humanity. And that, in terms of the group that the Wednesday group that you're part of, I think is a wonderful expression of that. And as you suggest, it's a pretty politically diverse group of people. And it is encouraging to see the depth of love and fellowship and unity there is in the gospel in that group. We're always trying to apply the Bible passage that we're looking at each week to our personal lives, but also our public and political lives. And we very much encourage the fact of getting people into a position of awkwardness, really, really is challenging their politics wherever they are across the spectrum. And where there have been kind of quite sort of obvious disagreements about how something applies, we've encouraged people to kind of go away and carry on that conversation over a cup of coffee. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, graciously challenge one another to say, look, how does this really apply? And it gets you to think about it, your own political assumptions in terms of why have I got those? Have I just picked those up in unthinkingly from my party? Is it because I just grew up with them? Does it really align with the kingdom values of Jesus?
Absolutely. Awkwardness is something we encourage, and it's right that
Yeah.
there's an awful lot to say to us in all of our situations and all of our circumstances. How easy when you get people together who think different things politically and who are Christians, that's one thing. You must though, as you walk around, particularly because Mark, you often wear a dog collar. Do you find yourself, either of you really, getting stopped and being seen as a resource almost by non-Christians or people who you didn't otherwise know around Parliament?
I mean, Mark has the advantage of a dog collar. So sometimes that's an advantage. Sometimes he'll be collared in the lift and that will lead to conversations. But yeah, I definitely think we do see ourselves as a resource. We want to be there as a sounding board for anybody, where whatever sort of faith belief or worldview they come with. And we do try and sit ourselves down in Portcullis House sometimes just over a cup of coffee. And just available for people to have chats. And yeah, I think both of us do find that people do just sometimes just want to talk about things.
And we do see that as part of the ministry here. There's sort of threefold ministry Christians in Parliament. One is outreach. So we want to be a thoughtful, gracious presence about the relevance of the Christian faith here in Parliament for people in their personal lives and their public lives. And so our weekly chapel services are seeking to engage the person who is. Would say, actually, I'm not a Christian, but I'm interested and I'm thinking about God and the meaning of life. We run fairly regular courses, quite often sort of one-to-one with someone just exploring the basics of the Christian faith. We'll have guest speaker events that are aiming to kind of to provoke people to think about the relevance and the truth of the Christian faith. We've had people like Tom Holland recently, David Suchet in the past, carol services, Easter services, etc. We may speak about the parliamentary prayer breakfast because that slightly hits those buttons as well. But yeah, outreach, discipleship of Christians and equipping them for their work here through the weekly Bible study groups. And thirdly, some public theology, what we grandly call public theology, trying to look at what are the foundations for thinking about policy making. So recognizing that every politician comes into the public square with a worldview of some sort, be it atheist or Christian, and having a look at those foundations and how do they then flow into our policy making.
A Mucky Business with Tim Farron.
We're talking to Claire Newman and Mark Harris from Christians in Parliament, and we were just a moment or two ago talking about the events that Christians in Parliament runs in Westminster. And we've had, as you have said, Mark and Claire, people like Tom Holland and David Suchet, Tom Wright, Chris Krandeier, Dan Walker. So some really, really interesting people. And I always reflect that when we have those events, the more famous, the better. So your Dan Walkers and your Tom Hollands, especially, and your David Suchets, people who are not Christians tend to come along. That's one of the points of running them, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to kind of put stuff on that is available to anybody and everybody here in Parliament, be that members or staff. And same for the chapel services. They're there for anybody to turn up to week by week and to hear the gospel explained and applied to our everyday lives.
And we do see that, don't we, Claire? When we go, we there's a. I don't make the chapel service every week, but when I make it, I'm always encouraged. You see plenty of people who you expect to see there. There's always two or three who you didn't, and particularly for the in inverted commas big set piece events at Easter and Christmas, that folks will come along who we didn't expect to see there, and that's part of the mission.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we really want to be open and welcoming to anyone and everyone. And people are coming along and they come with their questions. It's a space where people can think and reflect and just have an opportunity in the middle of a busy day in Parliament just to take that time out and really think about where their faith is and what their hope is in.
There is also there's a Wednesday lunchtime Holy Communion service run by the Speaker's chaplain. There's a Catholic service run at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday too. So there's lots of touch points during the week for people to engage with Christian faith. And the Speaker's chaplain and the Roman Catholic duty priests are around on the estate too. So it's very much a kind of multi-pronged ministry.
In terms of people getting an idea of the space all this happens in, this is a very beautiful chapel, St Mary's Undercroft, which is underneath, kind of underneath Westminster Hall.
Yeah, well, it's underneath St Stephen's Hall that you walk through to get to central lobby. So it's underneath what was the royal chapel, the main chapel for when it was a royal palace before there was a fire in Henry VIII's reign. But the Undercroft Chapel remained and has remained, largely remained as a chapel for most, for about 8 centuries. I think there was a period in the 19th century when it was used as the speaker's dining room.
It's a tremendous place, but people can then picture it. So you're right, it's underneath St. Stephen's Chapel, but you get to it in the corner of Westminster Hall. And so that leads me to something you alluded to just before. In Westminster Hall, in a few weeks' time, the whole of Westminster Hall will be dedicated to the parliamentary prayer breakfast. Tell us about the scale and the style and the purpose of all this, Claire.
Yeah, it's an amazing event, and we get to take over the whole of Westminster Hall. So that big hall built by William Rufus, and we'll have 65 tables of sort of 10 people all set up around the hall. And MPs are encouraged to attend the event, and peers with church leaders. So church leaders will invite their Member of Parliament to attend with them. There's a breakfast sort of that takes place. So it's 7:30 in the morning, so it's nice and early. People have been queuing from about 6 a.m. to get in. So people sit down for breakfast, have a chat over breakfast, and then there's a formal program that runs from just before 8 o'clock through to 9 o'clock. We have welcomes from Mr. Speaker and the Lord Speaker, and then this year's breakfast is being chaired by Rachel Maskell, MP. So she will do a welcome to everyone as well. And then the theme of the breakfast. So each year the breakfast has a theme, and our theme this year is God in the public square. And so we've got Professor John Lennox, Emeritus Professor from Oxford University, who's going to be speaking on this theme, which just feels a really relevant subject in Parliament, thinking about whether there is a place for God in the public square. So he will give a talk. It's designed to, again, be both encouraging to the Christian, but also thought-provoking, as the event is open to people of all faiths and none. So it's aiming to really give that thought into, whether Christianity really has a role to play in the public square. And then we're really excited this year to be joined by Keith and Christian Getty, who are going to be leading the music. So as you can imagine, big hall. 650 people singing. We'll hope to really raise the roof. It's amazing, and the sound in there is awesome. And we've also got a wonderful spoken word poet, Di Aldridge, who's going to be doing a spoken word piece as well. So there's some fantastic things going on for this annual event, which is just a great celebration of the truth and relevance of Christianity in the public square.
It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to have this event in the heart of Parliament, with the blessing of Mr. Speaker, Speaker in the Lords and in the Commons. Pretty much always, all the main party leaders, including the Prime Minister, whatever they believe, tend to come along. And I suppose part of the thing is that church leaders around the country invite their members of Parliament, whether they are or not a Christian. And there's an opportunity then, anybody who's heard John Lennox speak before will know. That's, he's not going to mince his words, and the gospel will be in there. And it's an opportunity for people who might not otherwise hear the gospel to do so. So we are really grateful to you, both of you, for helping to put this on and drawing together this enormous event. It's Tuesday, the 24th of June. I think it's full now, is that right?
It is. We've got the good problem. It's been full for a few weeks now. So we've got it. We've even got MPs on the waiting list. We're trying to persuade the parliamentary authorities to give us another couple of tables to squeeze everybody in.
But one thing to add there, Tim, there is a live stream. So if people want to join, they can actually join the live stream, which is open to anyone and everyone.
And how would they find that?
Yeah, details for that. If you Google Christians in Parliament and go to our website, you'll be able to find details of how to join the live stream.
Excellent. Well, I think that's about all the time we've got, and it's a good place to end. So let's make sure that we do link into that and listen if we're not able to be there in person. And please pray. Please pray for everybody who's going to be involved in the prayer breakfast, for Mark and for Claire and for all of their colleagues, tons of volunteers who make this happen, for John Lennox himself, and especially for people who are not yet believers to be there and to receive the word into their heart. Mark and Claire, from a personal point of view, thank you very much for what you do, for me, but also for Christians throughout this place. It is massively appreciated. We thank God for you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tim.
Each week, we give you the opportunity for you to ask any question you would like about this mucky business of politics. Now, it could be about an aspect of this world that impacts us Christians who work within it, or it may be there's a particular issue you're struggling to make sense of. Well, I'd love to hear from you, whatever it is, and I will at least attempt to give you an answer. So please drop me an email to farran@premier.org.uk. And this week, Terry from London asks this question. Tim, do you think Christian values still can shape national identity in what many describe as a post-Christian Britain? Thank you. Well, I say thank you to you, Terry, for asking a really great question. Are we a post-Christian country? Well, that's perhaps for another time, but we certainly are a country where Christianity is less seeped into the experiences of every person, every family, every institution, but it still is to a large degree. Obviously, if you read Tom Holland's Dominion or a smaller book, which is equally good by Glenn Scrivener called The Air That We Breathe, you get a real sense that what we'll call Western liberal democracies, like the United Kingdom, are very much founded on a kind of gospel understanding of the world. We believe everybody is equal. We believe that they have equal dignity, that no one is above the law. We believe there is such a thing as justice, and all should be subject to it, and all should be able to benefit from it. These are not things that occur in every worldview. They come from the gospel. Glenn Scrivener even says that even the language that we use to criticize the church from atheistic and secular points of view, they're still Christian in their very nature. The problem is, if we are post-Christian, Os Guinness refers to us being in a cut flower society. In other words, cut flowers look very beautiful for a bit, but they die after a while because they have no roots anymore. And the danger is that for a generation or two or maybe three, we might carry on the benefits of kind of Christian values in how we run our country, our society. But after a while, if we haven't got practicing Christians who actually believe those things in the first place, do we not just wither and die? Aaron Wren, very, very challengingly and somewhat controversially, said after Donald Trump was elected that Donald Trump could only be elected in America in a post-Christian America, in a world where at least some of the country didn't really care about the character and the values held by the individuals running for high office. The danger is that that ends up happening here, which is why we need to pray for our leaders and for those people who are Christians to consider seriously about getting involved in politics themselves. Because as our friend Andy Flanagan says, those who show up are the ones who make the difference. And if we don't show up, somebody else will.
If you have a question for Tim, email farran@premier.org.uk.
Well, let's close our time together, as we always do, in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we think of the world and we think of the threat of war and indeed the reality of war for so many people in Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, for many around our world. And we think about indeed our own leaders in the United Kingdom as they make decisions about the defence of our country. And we pray for everybody in this country and beyond who is worried, who is anxious about war. Lord, we just pray against war. We pray for peace. But we also pray that we would have ultimate peace by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that that is where our ultimate peace is found and where security and safety is found. I pray that this time of concern may drive many people to put their trust in you, Lord Jesus. We pray for an end to the conflicts in Ukraine and in Gaza and Israel. We pray for justice in the conclusion of both those conflicts as well, that those who have acted with evil and aggression would not get away with their crimes. And Lord, we thank you for the work of Christians in Parliament. We thank you for Mark Harris and Claire Newman and for all involved in Christians in Parliament. We pray for Rachel Maskell and John Lennox as they lead and speak at, respectively, the prayer breakfast in Parliament on the 24th of June. We pray that event will be a huge success and that people who do not yet believe in the Lord Jesus would hear the gospel as a result of that event and would come to put their faith in you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us for this week's show. Don't forget, you can catch up on past episodes, which feature interviews with party leaders, former government ministers and MPs from all the major parties. Just search for A Mucky Business on your chosen podcast provider or head to premier.plus/A Mucky Business. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.